That's right, folks. It's time for the Nerdy Point of View podcast, where we explore the nerdier side of life via random topics that we come up with and discuss for your entertainment. I am one of your hosts, the literal worst, Brian Penaloza. With me today is the pun master herself, Carrie Lyons.
And filling in for my puns will be our lovely friend and awesome mate, Maddie.
We also have with us the villain of the show, Martin Franklin.
Hello, thank you. I'm glad to be back. Just been on a tour of America, just, you know, peddling my villainy, just kidnapping people, kind of tying people to tracks, all that kind of good stuff. So,
now, I did want to ask real quick before I introduce Maddie, how are the train tracks in America compared to the train tracks in Britain?
You know what? You've got a lot more of them, which is great. There's a lot of options for me, you know. The style of train is also nice, so it's great because I get to see so many new things. I was kind of tired of seeing back home, you know.
But do you find like the snow and the ice make it harder to tie people to the tracks?
A little bit. You know, it can be treacherous, but being a villain, you know, it's never an easy job. So you just got to wear spiky shoes and it, you know.
All right, and he's so Matty, we have Matt Faust.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? I'm trying to be a fill-in villain. I'm not a very good villain.
A fill-in villain. His train track game is super weak.
Yeah, I'm not a very good villain. I don't like trains. I don't like train tracks. I don't like damsels. I don't like distress.
All in all, it makes for poor villainy.
Yeah, that's like the four check boxes you've got to fill before you can kind of get your like official villainy card.
Right. I mean, I failed that test so hard.
But he likes puns, so isn't he technically B's villain?
This is true.
You know, here's the thing. Like, so Maddie submitted his application to Bad Horse. And Bad Horse just kneed him right out of the fucking room. For any of you who get that reference, I love you so much.
I love you too, but I don't get the reference. So
well, I always love you, Maddie, regardless. I mean, let's face it. If I was loving you based on your villainy and pop culture references, I couldn't love you. But you have so many other redeeming qualities, it totally makes up for it.
Just gonna say, if you don't know the reference, go watch Dr. Horrible's Sing Along blog, because I mean, this caused me to have a Broadway style dream with Neil Patrick Harris in it. So,
oh, really? Oh
yes, it was a very interesting.
That's so good. I love that show. Okay.
Watch that shit.
I am scared of that. No.
Come on, Nathan Fillion, Neil Patrick Harris, Felicia Day.
It's a good time.
You have to watch this.
That's a great cast. I'm not a big fan of musicals, though.
Yeah. But it's like a comical musical.
Still a musical, though.
But if you're going to watch any musical... Okay, you know what? Movie night, we're just going to have to put this on and force Maddie to watch it.
Oh, my God.
Now that is villainy. I like it.
Right?
We just switched roles. Now Maddie's the pun master and I'm the villain. Welcome to the show.
Don't forget, we are also sponsored by DiceBard. Go to DiceBard.com and check out their outstanding selection of dice. Glow-in-the-dark dice, rainbow dice, metal dice, any kind of dice you can think of. They have everything you need to play Dungeons & Dragons if all you need is dice. And of course, don't forget to use the discount code NERDY for free expedited shipping on your order. That's NERDY, free expedited shipping. Pretty fucking sweet deal. And with that, let's jump into some topics. Maddie, I think you were going to start us off.
So I was racking my brain, as I do, and I realized that for a 41-year-old man, I have a lot of phobias, and some are rather severe. So I was curious, what are your phobias?
I don't mind leading this one if you guys don't mind.
Go for it.
So I've never been a person who's been afraid of very much, like nothing that like would qualify as a phobia, but something, and it's, I guess it's not so recent, but it was back when I turned 19 or when I was around 19 and I got hit by a car. That doesn't make any fucking sense. I got hit by a car because you cannot. I was walking down thine road and I was hit by a motorized vehicle.
All right, Charles Dickens, tell the story.
Anyway, got hit by a car. I think I've gone through this on the show before, but and anyway, fast forward, and I had to have an MRI done. Now, I'd never really been afraid of like closed spaces or anything like that, and I don't know if it was just all of the bullshit of everything that had been happening around that time because of the accident or what. But when I was put in that metal tube and the boom, 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 you know, like that sounds like pounding in your head while you're like trying to listen to classical music because that's the only shit they'll give you to listen to. Meanwhile, they're also trying to talk to you and you're like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to focus on the classical music instead of the thump, 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 burr. Anyway, I found myself fucking panicking. And I was like, I wasn't panicking so much that I was like freaking out and like trying to get out. Because I still had enough of my like my brain to tell me if you do that, you have to go back in for longer. So I was just like laying in this tube, just fucking bawling as much as I could without moving. And it was awful. It's not like me. I'm not like a big crier. I don't cry at a lot of things. I'm not hyper emotional like that. But after that, I noticed that anytime I'm kind of enclosed, like I really do experience not like a debilitating sense of claustrophobia, but definitely it's like in the back of my brain. And the longer I'm in that position, the more pronounced it feels.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Now I can actually relate. When I tore my rotator cuff, I had to go in for an arthrograph where they essentially use an x-ray machine to inject dye into a certain part of your joint. And then they put you into what he just described, the CAT scan tubey thingy. And
is that its medical definition?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yes, from the medical office admin, that is what we learned to call it. No, but so it just, the dye highlights the areas that they need to get into and stuff. And same thing, like just the noises. And they asked me, like, are you claustrophobic? And I'm like, no, I like small little spaces. Like, I'm perfect. And I wasn't afraid until it felt like, well, they said that I almost had a seizure. And I reacted badly to it, apparently. And what I described to them, it felt like, because I was fine 1 minute, except they fucking put on talk radio. At least you had music. I had talk radio that I could not even hear.
I mean, it was like off-brand classical music, though. It wasn't even like Beethoven or Mozart or anything like that. It was like Mozart's third or fourth cousin, six times removed.
It was like classical muzak.
Oh.
Yes.
Music, like as in ick. Get it? I-C-K.
So to continue your story.
To continue my story. So they noticed apparently, like, I don't know, my vitals or something like was showing weird on their screen. So they're like, are you okay? Like, you're showing signs of distress. And I'm just like, yeah, no. Not okay. And this was about 9 minutes into it. And so they kind of like, well, we're going to keep you in there because you're almost done. Can you hold on? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then that's when it felt like my brain tried to flip. That's what it felt like. That's what I described to them. And things got a little woozy. And so they like pulled me out quick and they said, yeah, like those are the signs apparently of almost having a seizure. So they like wheeled me out, put me out into like the sunny hallway, gave me orange juice, and they're just like, yeah, we're not going to do that again. And so now I have a phobia of those things.
I mean, that sounds pretty, yeah, pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally fair.
So I can kind of understand that because it is disorienting when you're in this really small space with this like ceiling of, is it a ceiling if it's round?
I mean, it's not really round; it's more like curved.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's like you're the cotton part of a tampon shoved into the applicator.
Oh God, that just
wow! There are so many like analogies you can bring to the table, and
that seemed like the most accurate one to me. I'm sorry, like the shape of that tube and like the way you were just kind of shoved right up there.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, at least he said tube. Like I didn't think. He said
yeah.
When he said
that could have gone a slightly different route for sure.
That's true. Very true.
Don't hate my accuracies, okay? Just because I have a way of painting a mental picture doesn't mean you gotta hate.
Oh boy, do you.
Speaking of hate, I don't know if this really, because as much as like that kind of created a phobia for me, that's not the answer I had in mind. I don't know if this counts as a phobia. But my thing is liquid medicine. Like, and this kind of touches on because I'm sick right now, and I kind of forced, well, B forced me to have some NyQuil. And I told him the stories of me as a kid, and I'm not even joking. Like, I would be sitting there. If you remember those, like, measuring spoons that they used to put medicine as a kid, and I would be holding that in one hand with a glass of water in the other beside the sink because my parents knew that there's a chance I'm going to spew. And I would be sitting there for at least, like, 30 minutes, minimum 30 minutes, just like, okay, I got this. I got this. No, I'm not. And, like, every single time I got it close to my face, my brain remembered what it tasted like, and I'd gag, and I'd just be like, and like literally 30 minutes later, my dad would come in, see me still standing beside the sink, like, Jesus Christ, just take it. And I'm like, I can't. So when it got to the point where I could like start taking pills, I never looked back. I never took liquid medicine again until the other day. And it wasn't 30 minutes.
No, it was a good 25. That's all. So
it was not 25 minutes.
Me first,
about
best.
25. I was actually watching the time.
Damn it. But I'm getting better. But I mean, I don't know. It's not something. Maybe this is why it's more of a phobia than a hate, borderline phobia. But like, it's actually hard for me to take it because my brain instantly already wants to gag and freak out because it knows how horrible and ass tasting this is going to be. So
yeah,
you're
already in that mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate liquid medicine. It is the literally devil's jizz. Okay. Like
I have questions.
All right.
How does one determine what the devil's jizz tastes like?
Well, I mean, you didn't meet my ex, so...
Fair. Fair.
So, moving on, Patty.
I really hope my parents are watching.
Oh my god, no.
I know. It's like, Sunshine Rainbows, baby.
This is our podcast.
Oh, this is the shit show. Martin, do you have a phobia? I have a new one. It's the devil's jizz.
Yeah. I've actually changed mine. No. I think I'm probably a little bit the same as Kerry in that kind of I kind of know what mine is. And I know that there is a word for the thing that I associate with, which is thalassophobia, which is a fear of sea travel, oceans, large, vast, empty spaces. I don't mind the sea at all. I live near it. I love it. But there's something that freaks me out endlessly about the abyss of the sea, you know, like the bits that we don't know about. I don't have a lot of fears, but probably the biggest one is just that thing where you're in the sea and you're treading water and every direction you look is just more sea and nothing else. That's probably like the one thing that does make me you know, I'm not feeling too good about that idea. I think that's probably quite a sensible one, though. I don't think a lot of people would feel great about that. So,
oh, I super relate with that. Like, and it's funny you mention that because that didn't even occur to me till you said it. But years ago when my sister got married, it was out in Hawaii and we went on a jet ski thing. Now, I thought, oh, it's going to be jet skis. We're going to be like close to shore. Nah, fuck that. They take you in a boat and they bring your ass out into the middle of the goddamn ocean. Uh-huh. And I'm already like, ooh, this was a poor choice. Because like you, like I love the ocean. Like I think it's really cool. But when you're off the jet ski and you can't get back up due to a bunch of circumstances, I'm not going to tell that whole story. But when you're just floating there and your jet ski is about a quarter mile away and you know that there's just like a mile of ocean underneath you. And at any time, anything that is about a half mile or smaller could be under you just swimming ready to like the fucking that movie The Meg just come up and just swallow you in one bite
or even worse
like lightly graze your foot
just give you a little tickle as it goes past just like let you know it's there but yeah. This is the thing, like I really want to go scuba diving and stuff, but have you seen those clips of where like the seabed like you can be at short and then it just plummets. Like yeah. you go from being a few meters to just nothing. And just the idea that like one current could come through and if you weren't prepared for it, you're over it, you know? Like it's just, yeah. Oh, gives me the shivers.
So if you think like the ocean is bad in Nova Scotia and like the rivers and the creeks and everything like that, they have leeches the size of your forearm.
Oh.
And like,
that's not a fun time.
Luckily, personally, did not see this, but my ex, the devil, we'd mentioned him, he used to tell me tales of it where like they'd swim to the dock and you could see them like trying to squirm their way up to get to you. And it's like a thing of nightmares for me.
That reminds me of the movie Slither.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, that is.
That was that Nathan Fillion joint with the giant leeches things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. Any kind of creature that can like suck the blood out of you that you can grab with two hands and fling back into the water. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like that therapy where people like willingly attach leeches to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I
get rid of that bad blood.
Nope. Fuck that. Yeah. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, there's something about bloodsuckers that just... Ugh. What about you, Maddie? Any phobias? Fears?
Yeah. Well, I have a few. But I'll only talk about two. And these are, like, probably the biggest ones. So here's a little thing that I don't tell any of my online friends or anybody that I talk to through text and pictures, is that my arachnophobia is so severe that I can't even look at a photo of a spider.
Oh, damn.
Without, like, literally freaking the fuck out. Like, I mean, when that shit pops up on my Facebook or Twitter or something like that, and there's like an actual spider, I'm like, fuck! And the worst part about Twitter is that you can't like hide a tweet on your thing, like on Facebook. Facebook, if you see something like that, you just go click hide. Okay, great. I don't have to.
Oh, Maddie, I'm going to be your fucking savior right now.
Why?
You click the little down arrow and hit I don't like this tweet and it goes away.
Oh, well, I but then I'm afraid that I'm going to lose the other tweets the people do.
No. It's just specifically for that tweet.
Okay. All right, good. So, yeah, that is so severe. So I don't tell anybody that because then I fear that people are just going to have fun with it. Because I know how people are, you know.
People are dicks.
Yeah. Well,
so now my Twitter feed is going to be filled with spiders pretty soon.
Post this, just go and block the word. Just go and add the word spider to your filter list.
So I might try that. And trying to make a holy symbol for Lolf has been like a no.
Oh no.
Yeah. I might just do like the alternate web like symbol that they talk about. Anyway, the other one is heights, and this one is like, okay. I think the worst experience I've had so far. Have you ever been to the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas?
Yes,
and. So the hotel rooms are in the pyramid that they have. And so every floor, you know, they have the, like what they call incliners that go up like the corners, you know, and then when you walk down one of the hallways, there's just like a ledge and then it goes straight down to the bottom. And you can see all the way down to the bottom. So if you're staying on the 13th or whatever floor, you see right down. And I'm a tall man. All right. I am at least 6'2", taller when I put my shoes on. And these ledges were not, no, they're not very high. They are not high at all. We stayed there once. I literally, at one point, And I wasn't even drunk, is the funny part. I was literally crawling on the floor to the hotel room.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because it was just like, as soon as my eyes went that way, it was just like, you know, and right. Then it's just, it's almost like that, that feeling people talk about vertigo or something like that, mm-hmm. where it just feels like everything's just, you know, rushing and then just kind of your vision starts to swirl, and mm-hmm. that's exactly what happens. And, yeah, so I'm not a big fan of that, place. I, would never stay there again. And, I would like to burn it to the ground sometimes, but you know, I am not a bad guy. So, you know, I'll just avoid the place. And
I've just had a message through. Your application to the Villainy Guild has been accepted, actually. You're making progress.
What you got to do is tie the pyramid to the train tracks. Can't fail.
There we go. I would gladly do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's really funny because, like, the spider thing, when I was a kid, I was okay, you know. I think it was more my mom being freaked out by spiders that would freak
They say me this out. Is a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but now it's just like as I've gotten older, man, oh, it is severe as fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, my mom's the same way actually as you. Like if she walks by and she sees a spider on the computer screen, like she will just let out a shrill and just like, "What is that?" Like, but I've seen her do. There was one time there was a huge fucking spider. Like this is when we lived out in the country, so they got fucking big, and it was just crawling across our living room floor, and she let out the most Xena-like scream I had ever heard, and just with a phone book went Rah! And just slammed it down on it. And I'm telling you, that phone book stayed on the living room floor until my dad got home because she dared not lift it.
Yeah, see, my old couch, I was just chilling after work. No. And just chilling in my sleep pants, no shirt, just hanging out. And I felt a tickle on my chest. And I looked down and a massive spider was like crawling across my chest. I'm like, wow, you've got fucking balls, homie. And yeah. Fucking smashed it, obviously. Cause ew, that's fucking horrible.
Oh, there goes Maddie.
Oh my god, I need candy for that. Okay.
So there was one time my mom was sleeping in bed with my dad, obviously, and there's something tickling her leg, and she was kind of half asleep, so she kept reaching down and scratching her leg. And one point, she realizes as her hand comes back that there's something in her hand. And she's still half asleep, so she's kind of like, what? And she looks at her hand, and there is a spider inside. So she lets out a scream, which obviously my dad, like, sits up, like, what? Just as her elbow is coming back. My dad got a black eye from this.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not a good time.
I mean, yeah. That's the excuse he said. I don't know. Maybe something else was going on, but...
That shit is for real. I'm having issues right now for sure.
So maybe we should move on to the next topic.
Wow, I knew I shouldn't have stuff, but
it's kind of funny because I actually have I used to have real issue with if I saw a spider in my room or something. Luckily I'm kind of over it now, but I couldn't go back into the bed if I'd seen one and it had gone away, sort of thing. And I dealt a way of dealing with it, which is kind of a bit bizarre, but whenever I feel that tickle now, I mentally imagine, like, say I feel a little tickle, I'm like, oh, it's a little spider. I mentally imagine bigger and bigger spiders coming along until it's just so bizarre and, like, impossible, you know, that, like, there's one walking over the house kind of thing, that it just kind of it's such a strange system, but it completely gets me over it. Like, I'm just like, oh, well, that's stupid, that's never gonna happen, and then I forget about the initial tickle.
I love, Martin, that your brain took eight-legged freaks and just, like, made it a reality.
Yes.
Literally. And now I wouldn't recommend it for an arachnophobic, though.
So. Now I'm picturing a giant spider over the house.
And, oh no! It did backfire. That did not work.
We need to move now. So
hold on, Matt. I think your new phobia would be is if Mark got a tattoo of one of those realistic spiders on the skin, where it actually looks like it's just crawling up. And
the good thing is that he would never do that. And not that he doesn't have tattoos. His tattoos are adorable. No. Oh, boy.
So while you guys were talking, I spilled coffee on myself because I'm an adult. And it actually reminded me of my topic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got Martin back from the UK. And I think we all know Carrie has an affinity for coffee. We're not sure where Maddie falls on this, so that's going to be interesting. But it's the great coffee tea debate. We talk about this kind of stuff from time to time. Cake versus pie, pumpkin spice, pineapple on pizza. But I'm kind of curious, like, especially with you, Martin, just culturally, like, which is the preference? Is it coffee or is it tea? Or does it really not matter?
I mean, I feel like this is going to be a very one-sided podcast, because as far as probably most people back home are concerned, I shouldn't come home when I say I don't like tea, and I've never really liked tea. I'm coffee all the way.
So you don't like it at all?
If I'm unwell, I might have like a lemongrass tea or like a buttermint tea or something, but for my throat, I'll bear it. But yeah, coffee and that kind of stuff is my jam.
What about you, Maddie?
I don't know. I am not a coffee drinker, like a habitual coffee drinker. Like, my husband has a giant cup of coffee every morning. Sometimes if on the weekends, he'll have two. And sometimes he mixes chai tea into his coffee because he loves caffeine. And he's a nurse, so, you know, that's totally understandable. I generally, in the morning, if I need caffeine, and I usually do, I usually have like a Dr. Pepper or something like that. Okay. Because I like cold drinks. I will take cold over hot any day of the week. If I go to a coffee place, I usually get an iced coffee. Or my favorite thing to get at a Starbucks, honestly, is green tea lemonade.
That's really good, actually. That's legit really good.
I can't get enough of that shit. And I don't know. I prefer cold drinks. I like how it just kind of feels refreshing and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So, but I will usually take tea over coffee, especially because iced tea is generally better than iced coffee, you know? And yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I am sick, I get that. They do that sleepy time tea.
Mm-hmm, it's that kind of good.
It's almost kind of minty a little bit. I squeeze in half a lemon, and it.
Oh, that's good.
It basically tastes like a tea lemonade. You honey in that shit. It helps your throat. It's fantastic.
Carrie, why don't you espouse your love for coffee before I give my opinion?
Okay, well, first, let me just say my dislike of tea.
Huh. Let me start with the thing I
everyone
hate.
Knows how much I hate.
Exactly. Wow. Well, no, like, my big problem with tea is it never tastes how it smells. Like, I have literally, like, I've tried so many different teas where you smell it and it smells like, say, like, really fruity or just really nice. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to taste so good. And then you taste it and it's fucking water. It's just hot water that's fucking scented. That's it. And it's like, this is a lie. Tea is a fucking lie. And then, like, no caffeine in most kinds anyways. Not all, but most. And what? I'm like, why am I drinking this? Yeah, most of the teas that, like, I've...
Well, that's herbal tea. Herbal tea. Real tea from tea leaves, it has more caffeine than coffee.
I will take coffee. I would like flavor, not water.
I feel like the more caffeine in tea thing is propaganda created by the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's true.
Big tea.
Just to sell more.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. But no, like, there's only one tea I will say that I found that tasted the way it smelled. And that was, I think it was called Summer Fruits by Lipton's.
Oh, what's a good one?
Oh, it is, I guess, my favorite tea, but also the only one I like. So,
by default, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That would be your favorite.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some out there, I'm sure, but like I've tried a lot of different teas because my friend back home in Ontario, Sam, she has tried to get me to switch over from coffee to tea for so long. And so I've tried a lot, and I think she's given up at this point. But she got me onto these, if anyone goes to Starbucks, they have these things called refreshers. Like there's a cool lime refresher. There's a hibiscus berry refresher, which is my favorite. And she's just like, yeah, drink this. It's better for you. It's good for you. Like you need to stop drinking so much caffeine. I was like, oh, okay, well, this actually tastes really fucking good. And she got me hooked on them. One time we buy them and she's telling the barista that why she got me on them. And the barista's like, oh, honey, this is green coffee bean extract in it. And that has like double or triple the amount of caffeine in it than your average coffee bean. And Sam's like, what? What did I do? So, yeah, I like those things. But overall, coffee, I'm Canadian. Any Canadian usually loves Tim Hortons. We are like, you know, they just put that into the bottle when we're a baby and just on it. But, oh, God, I miss it. That is, like, one thing of Canada I so miss right now is my Tim Hortons coffee. Like, I buy it on Amazon, but it goes within, like, a week for me. So it's just, I mean, Starbucks is okay, but I miss my Tim Hortons.
Yeah, you don't have a coffee problem.
No, what? As I drink my coffee.
So I'm kind of in both camps a little bit. Most of the time, I like coffee. Like, coffee's my jam. But as I mentioned on the very special Red Bull episode, coffee also gives me the shits. So, you know, I drink it too much, like too consistently, mm-hmm. then it starts to pose a problem for me. If I take a break from it and come back, then I'm usually fine for a while. In those instances when I still want caffeine, a good black tea is going to do it for me. And also kind of like Maddie said, when, you know, when I'm sick or whatever, you know, a really good, the sleepy time tea is also my jam. I love that shit. But I find I have to make the tea very strong. I usually have to like use twice as much tea to make it as it recommends. Otherwise, yeah, it does this taste like hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I cannot talk today.
Wah, water.
Wah, 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 water.
Wah, 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 wah.
Anyway, yeah. So I also like trying like a bunch of like different kinds of new teas. Like I have this blueberry tea that I got at Bates Nut Farm that I haven't tried yet. It smells like dirty ass, but I bet it's going to taste delicious. Because
that's the tea that tastes like it smells. That's the one time. Yeah.
I drink it. It's like, oh, it tastes like a 100-year-old sewer. That's never been like cleaned.
Dirty ass.
That is the one thing that tea has over coffee, is that you can go buy like a box of like tasters and testers and try so many different types. Whereas with coffee, it's kind of like you find that one bean and then you don't really want to move away because like there's so many variants that you get a bad one, you've got to go through the whole bag or waste it, and it's just, yeah, it's difficult, I think. Yeah.
Honestly, my favorite coffee is you make it in a Keurig, and I think it's made by Green Mountain Coffee. I could be wrong. It's called Jet Fuel.
Ooh.
And the other one is called Black Tiger, and oh my god, you feel every hair on your body stand on end when you drink that shit. It's fantastic.
I want it.
That's, yeah, it's like healthy. It's like black speed in a cup.
Yeah, no. And the thing with coffee though is it's also one of those things. It's not very, like once it's ground, you've got to use that shit, and mm-hmm. you know, so it's not. I don't know. It doesn't hold as well as maybe a tea does. You know, like you've got to keep it in the freezer in an airtight container with no oxygen and all. Yeah.
Yeah, you know why tea holds the flavor more? There's no fucking flavor.
New, that's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm just, I mean, coffee's fine, but it's like one of those things. It's, I don't know. It tastes like shit. So you have to literally.
Oh, no.
I mean, you have to. I have to flavor that shit. You know, like we get those flavored creamers, you know, and
oh yes.
And they're delicious, and it's like, but I have to put a lot of that stuff in the coffee, so I'm not like, you know, I mean, coffee's fine if it has something to with it, you know, like chocolate or you know, pumpkin.
That is one area, you know, like, that coffee suffers from a thing. I drink coffee black, so I don't put anything in it, so it has to be a good, you know, like, yeah. you have to find some, you can't. I think you can't mask a bad coffee, or you really have to put a lot in it to do it. And I think that's probably why I prefer it, because tea is just, it's the same all the time. But you like the place I go back home, for example, they have rotating blends, and one of them almost has like a tomato soupy kind of art. And it's really weird. Like, you talk about it and you have it and you're like, I'm getting like tomato soup flavors, because it's a very complicated drink, I think. And it's very easy to do it wrong, like burn it and things like that. Tea is very inoffensive, but it works all the time. You know, you never get someone saying like, I mean, maybe you do it a bit too strong for someone, but I think it's very hard to like brew your tea wrong. You know, you put a bag in hot water and leave it, like, you know, it's not that bad.
I think it's hilarious, the whole leaving a tea bag or whatever in your cup for a long period of time to steep it. I take a spoon. You know, like I do the dip and drain, you know, let that shit, you know, I get all the color out. Oh yeah.
I don't know, back to that creamer thing, actually, like, I don't know if it was just my area of Canada, like in Ontario, or if it's like all throughout Canada, but we did not have the flavored creamers that you guys have here. Like, was it the same in the UK, Griff?
I think the closest we get is syrup.
Yeah,
so you get,
yeah,
like a flavored syrup. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no cream. Like, I went to the gas station to pick up a coffee on, like, right before a long drive, all of a sudden I'm seeing like Reese peanut butter cup creamer and Hershey caramel creamer, and I'm like, oh fuck yes.
Right.
And like, that was, God, I love the States. Like, you guys just answer all my sweet truth.
We are really good at coming up with new ways to make people fat.
I mean, it's
working,
though.
What are you trying to say, Maddie?
I needed to gain weight, so this is perfect for me.
I'm just saying, you know, like, we Americans, we love our sugars, we love our sweets, we're gluttonous folk. And yeah, if we could come up with 400 ways to make you fat, we're going to do it.
That's because when you're the greatest country in the world, you can afford that luxury.
That's right.
America.
I will say, like, your portions are so much bigger than I'm used to.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, they're so big.
So we've been out for meals, and there have been times I'm like, I don't think I can finish this. And it's like, well, you can just get it to get a box, take it with you. And I'm like, what? What are you? I'm like, sure, we'll do that. Like, I'm not used to finishing meals. Well, some places do. It's just that the plate only has enough that I need to eat on it. You know, I've never sat there kind of going like, I need to take this, like, to go. But I like it, you know, I think it's good.
That's
the sign of like a true American restaurant. It's like, it's not always quality. It is definitely always quantity, though.
Just massive amounts of quantity.
You know, it's like, I mean, some places are fantastic and the food is great,
mm-hmm.
but some places are just pretty much mediocre, but you can always count on giant portions. You know,
I just want to give a quick shout out. If you want quantity and quality, DZ Aikens, San Diego, yes. Jewish deli. Holy fuck.
Oh my God.
It's a transcendent experience.
If you want quantity and quality, you go to a Jewish deli.
Goddamn right.
Yeah. I'll say that, like, we ordered a sundae after we pigged out horribly. Like, I really didn't have room, but we had to have it because it had, like, hot fudge, caramel, three different kinds of ice cream. Like, I needed this in my life. And it arrived, and I'm not even joking. Like, it was fucking huge. And I'm just looking at it, been like, what did I do to myself? Because I'm also lactose intolerant slightly.
That is one thing you don't see with anybody else with any other food intolerance, but people with lactose intolerance say like, I know what I'm getting myself in for, and I'm fine with it.
It's just worth it,
you know? Honestly, I get it. Like, I have IBS, you know, I hit Taco Bell
oh my god, yes,
And I know it's
going to do Taco Bell
out, but yeah.
Speaking of, B, we need to get Taco Bell today. I have a hard craving right now for some nacho cheese.
All right, we'll see.
Today's episode is not sponsored by Taco Bell.
No, but if they wanted to, but, we're yeah, open give us to this.
You know, Carrie has a real addiction to Taco Bell. Speaking of addiction. That's the segue part. That's where you talk about.
It was
incredible.
No, I know, but that's where you bring up
the topic. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just need to process that because I've got to be careful, or I'll get addicted to how good you are at segue. Oh,
there it is. So
I've kind of been thinking. Obviously, I'm in the States right now. I'm in Asheville in North Carolina, and downtown Asheville has a pinball museum. We actually went there the other day, and it's something like $15, and you basically get all-day access, if I remember right. I've never really played pinball before. It always seemed a bit baffling, just bright, loud noises and all this kind of stuff. But I was playing it, and I was like, I could see myself, like, if I had a day just sitting at one of these and just not moving. Like, it had this addictive quality to it. Take that into account with the fact I've just started playing Magic the Gathering and want to buy cards every day of the week now. I kind of wondered, what things have you avoided or haven't done because you're a bit worried that you might fall down a rabbit hole, that you might get addicted to it? What are you trying to protect yourself from?
I think Maddie should start that one off.
I agree.
Okay. well, one of them I did, and I am addicted to it now, and that is basically... going back into tabletop role playing. I was really into it in high school, and gosh, that was our lives. You know, if we weren't at school and or doing anything school wise, which, you know, like by my senior year, I was involved in like 20 different things at school. And not at work, we were playing Dungeons and Dragons or something like that. But then, you know, you get older, you meet a guy, that guy doesn't like Dungeons and Dragons. He doesn't like your friends, things like that. And you just kind of fall out of it. And then a couple years ago, you know, I was looking at it and going, oh my God, I miss it so much, you know, but God, if I start this up again, if I start buying these books, if I start buying dice, like it is going to be a full blown, that's going to be my life. And that's basically what's happened. You know, it's like, that is my life. That is my world. I literally built a business selling shit related to D&D. That's what I do with my free time. It's like the sad bit of it is that like my husband doesn't play Dungeons and Dragons. He doesn't play role playing games and things like that. So now I've got this addiction that, you know, like he's not involved in, and he's super supportive and he loves that I do all this stuff, and he definitely is like the enabler. You know,
okay.
If you want to carry that analogy over, but it really is just like my whole life now. And, you know, like I used to love football. I used to love watching TV. I don't do that anymore. I don't watch football. I think I know that the 49ers, like their quarterback went down at some point, and I think they're having a terrible season. Probably. I don't even need to look at the stats for that, but I haven't even been paying attention, and I was watching that shit every day. So yeah, no, it's like D&D, tabletop RPGs, or anything adjacent, you know, is, and yeah. So, you know, not that it's a bad thing. I don't see it as a bad thing. And maybe me, because I'm on the inside, you know, and I'm surrounding myself with other people that are also D&D addicts and whatnot. But, you know, I don't know. It's fun.
I definitely think, like, the whole thing about, like, watching TV and stuff really does go away when you suddenly have, like, the best form of entertainment as your hobby, because a lot of shows seem a bit redundant or a bit cliche and just, like, you've seen it all before. Whereas it's very rare that you get a D&D session that's like, oh, this is a repeat, you know? Like, and it definitely has replaced... Personally, it's the same for me as well. Like, a lot of my entertainment habits completely changed when I started playing, for sure.
Yeah, for me, like, it was video games. Like, I used to play a lot more video games, and now it's, like, barely ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until recently.
Yeah, until the next addiction.
Yep.
which I'll probably bring up, unless Carrie does. Carrie, what's a thing that you haven't done because you're worried about being addicted?
I was going to bring that up, but actually I thought of something else. For the most part, I don't try to avoid things in fear of being addicted. Like, throughout my entire life, I like to prove to myself that I can overcome that and control it. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of, I don't know, a personal thing for me. But there has been one thing that I've avoided ever trying because I have seen it ruin people's lives, and it's not drugs. but that's actually World of Warcraft.
Oh, yes.
Yes, right? I will tell you, when I was in college, I had a friend. I won't say his name, but the first year that he went, he played all night, every day. Like, that was his life, and he'd skip classes. Like, he was addicted, and he ended up dropping out of college. Well, about 2 years later, he went back to college, still playing World of Warcraft, still skipped classes, still stayed up all night playing, dropped out again. And last I heard, he's working as a forklift driver back home, which isn't a bad thing. I'm not putting that down, but he was going for, I honestly can't, I think it was police foundations that he was in college for, because like his father was a police officer, so his family kind of wanted him to continue it on. But not only him, but other people, I've just seen them completely like just lose contact with people who got into World of Warcraft. And the amount of time and energy that you put into your characters, it's just one thing I know how I get when I play video games. And I was like, that will be me. That will absolutely be me. You will never see me again. You'll be like, did she die?
No, a new expansion came out. She's just raiding 24/7.
Oh, yeah. God. Right, though? But one thing I will say about it are the people who built their characters up so high that they sell them on eBay.
Right, yeah.
Get a ridiculous amount of money for them. Like, I think one was sold for like $26,000 or something ridiculous like that. And I was just like, what the fuck?
It always blows my mind how much money people are willing to spend to avoid having to play a game.
Right. It's a thing that you can't touch. You can't. Do you even play it? Like, are you afraid it's going to die? Or like, I guess I can't for like that price.
I played that game from launch. Like, I had it the day it came out, World of Warcraft. I played it for like 13 odd years or something. And I was very casual. But yeah, 100% agree with you. People just give up everything for it. And I suppose it's fair enough. If you never wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
Play video games. Sure, that's okay.
But yeah, I think he just...
Oh, right. In that case, yeah.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to be a fantasy girl on WoW just a little bit more.
We've all been there.
So. Right.
It's a big move.
I get that.
Speaking of like things like WoW, so one of the things I've avoided, and I finally just gave in, and God, that was a mistake, was like games like Ark, Rust, things like that, 7 Days to Die being another one, where it's basically like, I call it Minecraft for adults, because it has a lot of like the crafting properties and shit and like building buildings and stuff, like Minecraft. But also, zombies are constantly trying to eat you. And I was like, I know I'm going to get addicted to this. And sure enough, it's just like, I get this itch. Like, I'll be at work and I just like get this itch on my arm. I'm just like, oh, I could be playing 7 Days to Die. I could be building my base. Like, I need to there's so much I need to do. I need to build up that perimeter wall, and we need to lay spike traps and build the metal grating so we can shoot the zombies from above. Like, it's a terrible addiction. but I lost that battle, so that's not my answer. My answer is actually, this is going to be the most adult thing I've ever said, but the stock market.
Yeah.
Investing in stocks. Okay. I've been dabbling lately with an app called Robinhood, and I realized as I was searching out stocks to buy that, oh God, you can go down a deep fucking rabbit hole trying to discover trends and learning about entire sections of the economy that you might not have known about in order to make an informed decision before you invest your money. And I was like, oh shit. So, yeah, that's, I am kind of letting my money sit right now and see what it's going to do. But I know that if I really poke at it, like, I'll go too deep and the statistics and whatnot are just going to fucking bury me. And I'll do that for the rest of my life.
I get that. Numbers appeal to me a lot. So yeah, I could see myself doing that too. Plus, I literally have an addictive personality. So I can latch onto things, and when I actually like something, I can really just go full blow into it and, you know, just kind of forget everything else.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't typically have an addictive personality, like alcohol, soda, like, you know, a lot of like the sugars and stuff that typically would be, you know, a thing that would addict people. Like I decided, okay, well, I'm just not buying soda anymore, and I just have water in the fridge. And I did that for like fucking a year or two or whatever before I discovered ginger ale and discovered how great it is for my belly aches. So then I was pretty much like the only soda I would drink was ginger ale. But like alcohol, like I went from drinking a whole lot when I worked over at a Chevy dealership to like I've had the same bottle for fucking ever. And I just don't have like an urge to go and drink it. Like, you know, socially, sure, whatever. But it's not like I don't have that need that addicts have to do something. The most addicted I've been to anything in probably ever is this fucking game. It's bad, man. Ew, it's bad. Man. Like, I'm just like looking at my PS4 right now. I'm like, I could be base building right now.
any of those games that have that kind of reward element, like, because you said about Minecraft, I played that with mods, like, for the longest time, and Ark played so much of, and you're right, there's just something about it. You want to do that next little thing. You're never done because there's always like another little project you've got to do, and then you get the satisfaction of seeing it done and it looks really great, and you see it all realized, you're like, what now? And it's hard to do that in person. You know, in like real life, you can't just suddenly start fortifying your home, or you could, but
your neighbors are going to have questions.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I've been playing that with Carrie and Riley. Fuck, nice. We've got this like so five story tall apartment building, and we're just fortifying the fuck out of it right now. And there's still so much to do, and it takes so long, but it's like, it is, like you said, it's very rewarding when you finally complete that project and you look at it, you're like, fuck, that looks good. What's next?
Plus, you know, especially when you're playing it in a social situation like you're doing, you know, it's great quality time with people you want to spend time with. And you get to do a thing that a few YouTubers I follow called Lego Talk, where you just, your brain is acting stuff out. Like you're doing a thing, you know, you've got to collect X materials to make Y thing, to construct a thing. And you can just talk and just have fun and just spend time with someone. It's the same way that tabletop RPGs are, I guess, but it's less intense because you're just hanging out, I guess, when you're doing it, right? So,
yeah,
it's a good time.
And you can make whatever you're doing as easy or as taxing as you want. Really, it's I can kind of relate in the sense where that's kind of how I feel about my graphics software. You know, it's like I could just, like right now, if we weren't doing this, I'd probably just be sitting right there just futzing with something, like with an idea and playing with something in my head and you know, throwing things around until something sticks, you know. And I have to catch myself sometimes, you know, go, oh, okay, I've been sitting here for 3 hours without eating or drinking or anything, you know, and then it's like, oh, okay, I'll get up and, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that happens definitely with this game is like, we'll be like, okay, look, it's getting late. We're going to do it for like one more hour and then we really have to go to bed. And the next thing you know, like 4 hours has gone by and you're like, oh, fuck, it feels like 20 minutes. And it's like, okay, maybe there's a problem here. There's just not enough hours in a day. That's the problem.
That's the issue.
Yes. Yeah.
Martin, about aside from the pinball, did you have any other thing that you were hesitant to try because you were concerned about addiction?
Mine's just been realized, really, and that would be stuff like Magic. You know, like getting back into a game like that. There's not really anything I actively avoid because. For the most part, I'm pretty happy with the things I have. You know, I spend my spare time doing the things I want to do, and I've not kind of been looking for anything else. And then, yeah, Magic kind of hit me out of the side, and I'm like, oh, actually, shit, this is a really fun game that I can now also tie into things I do. So it probably doesn't fit my question particularly, but yeah, I used to be really bad for like the sugars and stuff, the opposite of you. Like, I used to drink fizzy all the time. And I had to completely cut it, you know, like, but yeah, not really anything else otherwise, but just be careful of Magic the Gathering. It's
oh, yeah.
And that gets expensive.
It really does.
Yes, it does.
I've tried to quell it by buying the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica D&D book, so I can hopefully just try and translate my Magic stuff back to D&D and consolidate. But my mic is literally being held up by Magic card boxes right now because I don't understand them here, so that just shows. Yeah,
oh god, you should see our case of Magic cards. We started with zero and then in like 2 weeks we have an entire case filled with them. It's
the way. It's for sure the way. And this is the thing again, like, you want to tinker with them, you want to sit down and go, actually, can I have a more optimal way? Can I take out some cards here? Do I need this much land? Could I get away with taking a couple out, something else? Yeah. Like, and then you play it and you're like, no, I couldn't do without that land. So
well, especially when you get that like one card all of a sudden, like say in one of those booster packs, and you're just like, I have to redefine my whole deck now around this card. So then you sit down and you just like try and create, because I love creating combinations in Magic the Gathering, like different ones in one deck, so you're not relying on just getting that one card. But sometimes like my red, green, white deck, I have one card, I think it's called Miles Aria or something like that. And pretty much this is a game changer card. Like if you have, it's like a, based around having a deck where it's creatures 5 or greater, especially beasts.
Okay.
So when it comes to your upkeep, if you have a creature power 5 or greater, put a 1/1 counter on it. And then if you have a creature that's 10/10 or greater, I can't remember what the ability is now.
They become a god.
Not yet, but if you have a creature that is 20/20 or greater, you win the game. That's what it says.
I love that kind of stuff. It's so good.
I love it. Yeah, because pretty much all of a sudden it gives a time limit for the other people to try and get rid of that card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, haha, yes, now I can focus your attention on this while I build up this over here.
Yes, you're just subtly doing this. Very fun to play Magic with.
Yeah, finding those cards that have that, like, and you win the game. Have you guys seen Atrata?
No.
No.
I forget what color she is. It's either blue or black, I think. But when she comes out, she's unblockable, I believe. She attacks the other player. When you attack the other player, you put a marker on a target creature and exile that creature. And then she shuffles into your deck. And if you get 3 of the opponent's creatures exiled in that manner with a token on it, you win the game.
Oh,
so she jumps out, does an attack, goes back into your deck, and then eventually comes back out, does an attack. And it's just fun. So if you're playing, you know, like really good draw, you can just go through your deck, get her out a load of times, just win.
Yes.
It's pretty
fun. What an asshole card.
Right? You talk about asshole cards, there's a deck that gives you infinite turns. The opponent literally just has to concede because they never get a go. Like, it's mind-blowing.
He had he had a crazy combination with that card, actually, where he also had infinite hand size. And he could sacrifice, it was a wizard deck, and he could sacrifice a wizard And I think based on what its mana cost was, he could draw that many cards.
Okay.
So, like, he just literally kept going and kept going and kept going. We're just sitting there like, should we go for a walk or something?
Right.
Like, we're not getting a turn anytime fucking soon. Oh, my God.
Just you do what you need to do. Let us know when you win. We're going to go do something. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Well, but, before this turns into the Magic cast.
Wait.
Also, I'm not sponsored by Magic.
One more thing. Have you guys seen, these aren't tournament legal cards, but there are, they have a name for them and I can't remember right now, but there are kind of fool cards kind of like thing. But pretty much, like, one, for instance, I can give an example of is you pay a mana cost and target player has to get you a drink.
No, I've never seen those.
I love these cards. Yeah.
I like that.
Really meta cards.
Yeah. They're great when you're drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, but what about the 12-year-olds that play this game?
They get Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, you get a nice tea lemonade for you, Maddie, and
wow.
No. That was a burn.
Oh, shit. You want some aloe vera, Maddie?
I know, dude. Man, I am really fair-skinned. I burn easily.
I'm sorry.
My heart.
I love you still.
I love you, too.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out with us today at Nerdy Point of View Podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. You can also find me DMing Tal'Dorei A New Dawn at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Wednesday. And every other Monday, DMing The Comedy of Strahd, which is a fucking ridiculous thing. Make sure to watch it because it's awful in the best way. It's the best way I can describe it. That's all I got going on right now. Fucking Carrie, where are you on the internet? What are you working on? I'm losing my damn mind.
You can find me on Twitter under the name Shrieke, Shrieke, and you can find me on Instagram under Carelessly, Kerlessslee. Nerdy Point of View also has an Instagram account, which is Nerdy POV. And if you guys are into, I forgot where I was going with that. Thanks, B. It's contagious now.
I'm worried. I'm worried about my time.
But no, I have lots of projects on the go. As he said, there's Comedy of Strahd on Mondays. I have Threads of Fate with Maddie on Fridays. And other stuff that I'm sure I'm forgetting. So, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, go check me out on Instagram and Twitter and just go from there.
All right. Martin.
Instagram and Twitter is the best way for me. It's Grifolion, GLYFFOLEON. I've also been doing, I've got a second little vlog because I've been trying to make my way into doing some of that content. And that's going to go out in the next couple of days on my YouTube, which again is Grifolion. So that name, everyone on the internet, you'll find me. Not a huge amount of other stuff going on, just really because I'm away until January. But then when I get back, hopefully I'll get a few more projects going. I just want to do a very quick shout out to another thing that's happening this month. There's a group of YouTubers called the Yogscast. They're a British group of YouTubers. And they're actually doing it. They do a month-long charity drive every year called the Jingle Jam. They started yesterday and they're at like $1.5 million or something dollars already. Wow. They do phenomenal stuff. It's basically a month of playing games and things. Just go give them a check out. Potentially they do a Humble Bundle and there's like a big package of games that you can, it's like $35 and the bundle's worth like $700 worth of games. So we don't normally do this kind of thing, but it's a charity thing. It's the whole month. You might not get on with everyone. They're such a big group that every night is like a different set of YouTubers. But yeah, just maybe pop in, give them a go sometime when there's no content running on Soulbear RPG, of course. that will be, yeah. Just a thing I just want to shout out because it's a really, really great cause.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that with everybody.
Hell yeah.
Okay, Maddie.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maddie, a.k.a. So Many Games, and you can find me on Soulbear RPG Wednesdays and Fridays and on my Twitch channel doing So Chatty on Saturday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. GMT. So we're not too late. It's like a late night talk show over in the UK. And yeah, we've got we've always got some fun guests and talk about TTRPGs. And of course, there's So Nerdware, the official place to get your nerdy POV, nerdy point of view merchandise designed by Carrie Lyons and myself. And we've got some great, great gear over there. And always a sale. Great gift ideas, folks. Christmas is coming.
Winter is coming. All right, fantastic. Don't forget, you can find the show on Twitter as well, at NerdyPOV, and check out all of our new episodes and our legacy episodes at NerdyPointOfView.com. Make sure to also check out our Facebook page and join our growing Facebook community as well. We even have a Discord channel if you're into that sort of thing. Just reach out to the podcast on Twitter, and we'll make sure you get a link. Also, check out our new Instagram page. Make sure you give that a follow. We post some cool pictures on there, including of the recent Red Bull event we just did, which was fucking bananas. Of course, if you liked what you heard today, please, please, please leave us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. It really, really helps. And I forgot to do a community shout out. Does anybody have any other business to attend?
I think I'm clear.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Okay. I have a bit of business that I would like to attend. And I'm going actually to require the services of Carrie. If you don't mind, I need you to, you'll have to mute your mic because it's going to pick up on this microphone.
Yeah.
But could you meet me in the living room, por favor?
Oh, but the wizard never leaves the curtain.
I got to take my headset out. I got to take my headphones out so I won't be able to hear you guys for a minute.
Okay.
No worries.
So, Carrie.
Yes.
From the time I met you, you were a super fucking cool person, right? We got off pretty well, you know, started a show with Martin, which we're doing right now, right? It's a lot of fun, really cool. But as we got to know each other better, we realized that we had a lot more in common, you know, than we anticipated. And both of us were super happy being single and doing our own thing, but eventually kind of had to acknowledge the fact that there was something there and give it a shot. That was when you were still in Canada, almost 3,000 miles away, and I'm here in California, and it is the dumbest fucking thing to do. It made no sense, but it was something that we couldn't deny. We just had to give it a shot, right? Mm-hmm. So we did. You know, we made some plans. You were going to come out for Halloween, you know, for a month, and we were going to see how things went, and a lot of shit happened, and we decided, you know what, let's just go for the full fucking 6 months. Let's just, you know, make one big trip. We'll bring the cats. It'll be a blast. But we didn't know how much of a blast it was really actually going to be. And it turns out that it has been the greatest past almost 4 months of my life. And I also realized that I didn't want to do any of this without you ever again. So I guess what I'm getting at is that I love you with all my heart. And I got you something, and I'm hoping you would do me the honor of marrying me.
You're shaking so much.
Yeah, of course I'm shaking so much. I'm doing this live.
Yes. Yeah? Oh my God, yes. I love you.
Love you too.
Oh my God. That is gorgeous. Oh my God. Kick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that easy. You know I got bad knees.
Hi everyone.
So that happened.
Oh my God, I'm shaky.
Yeah, I kind of lied about what I was doing with the camera there.
I was wondering, I'm like, okay, that's a cool idea, but...
Yeah, I set this all up right in front of your eyes. You were literally sitting right there the whole time.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, so
beautiful.
She said yes.
Oh my God. So happy for you guys.
Oh my God, this is yup.
Oh
fuck. No, like I thought great guys, he set this up last night. And he told me it was about, like, so if he wanted to do a stream, we could both be in the same shot. And kind of like what Dumpstat Charisma does. So Yeah, he was a sneaky little bastard.
And you like the layout I did for this? That's cool.
That is cool. Yes. Yeah,
I have no idea. Sorry, we're still in show business even if we just did this.
So hi everyone.
All right, we should come back to this. Let's finish this off. So.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right, so let's be back to being professional.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
All right, I'm going to pull this back up because I'm still running everything. Run this back to the... So, that was my bit of business.
Oh, God.
I love you two so much.
Thank you guys. You know, for doing this. Martin, I know, you know, you're on vacation right now. But this wouldn't have felt the same without you here. So, you know, thanks for being here.
Are you kidding? I was never going to miss it.
Oh, and, I'm really happy, you guys.
To all my friends and our friends who tuned in, I messaged a lot of people and told them I was doing this. You're pretty much the only one that didn't know, Carrie.
Okay, so you guys are all in on this. I see
We're
how it is.
All in on it.
I love you guys. And I'm just really happy that we got to share this moment with everyone because I do love you all. And
oh my God. Honestly felt like the only way to do this.
Honestly, Kerr, I have not sent you a message since Brian sent me. I was like, I'm gonna allude to something. I am terrible at holding secrets and stuff like that. And oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't know if it will.
Oh boy.
He did good. I've always said like you could put like, well, first off, never thought I'd be getting engaged. Ever. But the fact that it's with him, you know, I never expected to meet someone like him. So I'm speechless right now, but I'd be happy if it was a ring pop, honestly. But the fact that like this is absolutely gorgeous and totally my style and just shows, yeah, he knows me so well. Oh, Maddie's tearing up again. I'm holding it together here. If I see you cry, I'm going to cry again. It's going to be the Thanksgiving episode all over again.
I know what it's like to fall in love with your best friend and marry your best friend. And I know how easy and fulfilling that kind of partnership can be. Because it sounds like something that, you know, is made up in romantic comedies and fairy tales and shit. But it does happen. And I, from my own experience, it's literally the greatest thing in the world. And it's so easy, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like your typical marriage. It's a partnership. It's a friendship. If you can love your best friend and all that stuff, then God damn it, you know, you're fucking set. So, you know, here's to you guys and just decades of happiness.
Thank you, Maddie. And yeah, I totally agree. Like everything with B is just natural. Everything just feels great. I don't know. I'm still shaking here. So.
I almost couldn't get all the words out. Like, I felt my voice, like, doing that thing. And as a person who talks professionally, that's a weird feeling for me. But I knew, and again, so you know me, Care, like we were talking about yesterday when I was editing the Red Bull episode. I don't write things down. I do everything off the cuff. So literally just said, you know, spoke from the heart there. Didn't memorize anything. That's not my style. So
did great. Definitely surprised me.
Good.
Maybe it was a good thing I was sick, because I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, 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 cool stream thing, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, fun fact, Carrie this morning was like, I don't think I can do the episode today. I'm like,
yes.
I'm going to fucking die.
Oh, I'm so happy I didn't miss this, because that would have been really
bad.
I'm so
proud of you, boo. Obviously, like, it's been such a pleasure recording these all this, like, time with you both. So to see this come through the way it has, like, you two are amazing. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Love you both to bits.
I love you too, Martin. Like, honestly, again, like, it would have been so weird doing this without you here. I mean, you're family, dude. So.
Hells yes. You know. All of you are family.
Yeah.
Just really, again, happy that we got to share this moment with all of you and just make this make you guys a part of it as well. Just means a lot to me.
Yeah, no, same. You know, I put a lot of thought into how to do this, like how I wanted to do it, where, the when. And I realized that the most right thing would be to do it on this show. I mean, it's really what made us bond. You know, it's with all of our family and friends. Like, everybody can tune in and be a part of it. You know, because we have so many friends over all over the country, and it's impossible to, you know, do something and have all the people we'd want to be there. Right. But, you know, this way, you know, a lot of you could, and, you know, we could share that with you guys, and it'll live forever now. And that's kind of fucking cool. So
it really is. Yeah. That's the nice thing, too, is like my friends and family at home, you know, who missed out on this moment can just watch the VOD and or listen to it on the podcast and just feel like they were here with us.
Yeah. I do have to do the requisite we are out, so that when I edit this.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I just did it. That's fine. I'll edit from there. I don't know. It's a weird way to end a show.
Do, 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 do.
Right. Or is it like do 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 do?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what the do's are this time?
Yeah.
Oh shit. God. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Oh. I think I've said it all.
You guys.
Don't. Oh my God.
So, yeah, I'm not a good villain, all right? I'm a softie.
we love that you're a softie.
And, yeah, I love the hell out of you guys.